Hey guys, welcome back to 8-Bit Archaeology. Dig out your pickaxes and spellbooks. This week we're going to be digging into RuneScape. Hey guys, this week we're going to be talking about the free MMORPG, RuneScape. Now, this is a game that I played growing up. I picked it up back around 2006, I believe, so, you know, well over a decade ago, and it was something I dumped a lot of time into for a few years because it was something that all my friends were playing at the same time. So let's start by talking about the actual game itself. The game was published in 2001 by Jagex. It was essentially developed by two brothers out of their kitchen. It started out as a free-to-play medieval fantasy MMORPG, and what was unique about it was the fact that it actually ran on Java, so it meant that the graphics for the game weren't too intense. They were actually pretty simplistic for the time, because you were playing it out of a browser, and Java could only handle so many polygons before it would not run. This game's a little unique too in the fact that the way you interact with the world is there's different servers, so, and they're called worlds, so like world 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is. And you can coordinate which world you go to, and basically you're sharing that server with whoever else is there. So for people that aren't well-versed in what an MMORPG is, it stands for a massive multiplayer online role-playing game. And what that means is that everyone who has access to the game can log on, and they all share the environment, right? They're all the hero of the story, but you're sharing this world with, you know, thousands upon thousands of other players who are interacting with it in real time. So RuneScape in its current state today has two forms of the game available. There is the version of RuneScape that has evolved over time, the graphics have gotten better, the servers are stronger, everything's has like a really good amount of detail. And then there's another version of the game called Old School RuneScape. And basically what this game does is it's standalone from the main RuneScape game, but it's a version of the game from back in 2007, which is around the period of time when I played the game. So, you know, I recently logged back into regular RuneScape just to see how the world had changed and how the graphics have improved. And it looks really, really beautiful for, you know, a free download game. And I should clarify too, there is a paid tier for members that lets you access, I mean, vastly greater amounts than the free-to-play option. I was only ever on the free-to-play, so that's mainly the areas I'm going to talk about because that's kind of the more accessible part for people that don't know too much about the game. But so there's current-day RuneScape, and then there's old-school RuneScape. Now, it's kind of funny to compare and contrast the two because the graphics of current RuneScape are beautiful. Like, you go in there, it's not using Java anymore, and obviously graphics have improved greatly over the last decade. But, you know, there's intricacies to armor and weapons, and the world's just a lot more vibrant. And then you go into old school RuneScape, and everything's kind of boxy and polygonal and a lot more simple. There's some shading going on, and there's some, you know, subtle ambient things, but for the most part, everything is, like, tiles. Like, the ground is all tiles, there's, you know, copied textures all over the place. The world looks very simple, and the character models look pretty simple, too. You're very blocky, your hands look like triangles, almost, and everything's a lot simpler. But personally, I kind of prefer old RuneScape, and this is totally a nostalgia bias. It's because I spent a few years playing the game in that style, so, like, going into the new version of RuneScape is kind of shocking because it's a little overwhelming. There's more content there to begin with, but also just like a whole new world to explore. But then going back to old school RuneScape is familiar and welcoming because it has a nostalgic style. And this version of RuneScape was actually made because the fans were demanding it. The game was progressing over time, but more and more people were telling Jagex that they wanted to play a version of the game from 2007 specifically, because that was sort of when the game really started taking off and when a lot of people jumped into the install base. So they all have a lot of nostalgia for that version of the game. And, you know, I'm one of them too, and I'm biased because I spent so much time online on this game, but, like, it's still amazing to kind of dig through a newer version of the world you knew as a child and experience it from a different perspective. But then it's also really great to, you know, I can I jumped in there for like an hour or two before and into old school RuneScape, and it felt like I had never left it. It was actually pretty amazing. So it's worth noting too that RuneScape has been built upon by several other games and even books. There's too extensive of a list to be worth capturing in, you know, a brief segment, but there was the one that I found really interesting was there was a version of the game called Darkscape that was pretty much an all player versus player version of the game. So what that means is basically, you know, in the RuneScape world, there's this zone called the Wilderness where players could fight other players. Dark RuneScape was that, but the entire game. So you would be able to run up to any other player and basically kill them and loot them. This is something that I guess a lot of players probably said they wanted. They tried it out, but it didn't hold. But it was taken down because there was a lack of interest in that version of the game. So now I want to get into talking more about the setting, lore, and sort of inspiration of the game, and that's going to have a lot to do with medieval fantasy culture and sort of a myriad of different sources from the real world that have also kind of peeked their head into the game. So when looking at a world like RuneScape, it's really hard to not see the parallels between it and other sort of medieval fantasy worlds. You know, when I look at a world like RuneScape, the things that I think of first are, you know, Merlin, King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table, and all that good stuff. Now, I tried to see if there was a single solitary source for where this world was derived from, but there really isn't. It's from a number of different places. It kind of takes, you know, the culture of medieval fantasy worlds or tropes and puts them into one melting pot environment. So let's break down how those sort of fantasy tropes are made into sort of stepping stones that, you know, sort of create this succinct world that the player is experiencing. So when you first start off your experience, you are given a customizable character. You can put them in whatever clothing you want, whatever hairstyle you want, and, you know, it starts out as a pretty basic character mod, but it's one that, you know, everyone can put their own spin on their character from the very start. Now, you're taken through a tutorial island where they teach you the basic skills of the game, everything from mining to cooking to smithing to hunting and to combat. So everyone starts off on this tutorial island where you're taken through this sort of progression of skill-based tests to make sure that you understand how your player can interact with the world and how the skills and different other components of the game can be leveled up. So once you go through Tutorial Island, you are transported to a castle town called Lumbridge. Lumbridge is a really good example of how a medieval castle town would be set up. So there's a main castle that's all masonry, you know, made of stone. There's towers, there's a kitchen in the back and everything. And then there's also smaller buildings in Lumbridge that are constructed of either stone or in what's called the Tudor style. And essentially what this means is it's a system of raising buildings that they have wood as the framing and on the facade, but then they're also, the walls themselves are infilled with straw and other things to make it stick together and insulate it. So a lot of the free-to-play areas follow this aesthetic. So Lumbridge, Falador, and Varrock are the ones I can think of off the top of my head that emulate this sort of castle town environment. Now, there are other environments throughout the free-to-play, like Alcaharad is very much modeled after a desert town, and the environment there is completely different. And then there's also other microcosms of space that are different examples of architectural styles. So there's a barbarian town where everything is just post and beam, and there's a, you know, drawbridge with wood walls raised on the outside. There's a myriad of other areas as well. If we, you know, take a larger look at the free-to-play area map. So there's also places like Port Sarum, which is a port town. There's the Wizard's Tower, Draenor Village, and then another one that's pretty important is the Wilderness. And the Wilderness is essentially where the rules of the game can be broken a bit. In the main overworld, you can't attack other players except in the Wilderness. And by doing this, you can actually loot other players and take their things by killing them, essentially. Now, when you're killed in RuneScape, you get sent back to Lumbridge. And you only get to keep your three most valuable possessions, I believe. Everything else you lose. And you can recover your stuff. It actually falls on the ground where you die, but recovering it is near impossible because by the time you would get back to your corpse, it would be gone. So what I want to look at here is the fact that they build up the base of the world is this sort of medieval castle town, and then there are areas that take a spin on that, right? So you've got things from a barbarian village to an ice mountain to the wizard tower to an isolated desert that has a quarry and a duel arena. So even to people who aren't paying for the full world experience, you've got multiple locations to visit, and you know they're all filled with various different tasks that you can do. Now, the game of RuneScape doesn't have a linear plot. Instead, the player is led out into an open world that is filled with numerous quests, like more than you can count, and they're constantly adding more. And you're left to your own devices to decide what your player is actually going to do, right? So when you arrive in Lumbridge, there are some guide characters to point you in directions if you're lost and all, but for the most part you're left to your own devices. You can either, you know, go on a quest where you have to slay a dragon, you can go to a watering hole and fish and level up your fishing and try to make money by selling that. Basically, what I'm saying is, like, the player's given so much freedom off the bat that it can almost be a little intimidating to jump into a world like this where you're kind of just left to yourself. But the interesting part about that is that there's thousands of other people playing alongside you. So it's not like you're just left alone. You're actually in an overworld where people can, you know, type and chat to each other. So the way the RuneScape interface works is that you can type a message and it'll appear above your character's head. So people can communicate with each other in the overworld. And even at some points, people just go in there to hang out and use it as sort of a glorified chat room. But it builds this sense that you're not alone, even if you don't know exactly what you're doing right at that second. And from there, you know, this is where it's kind of crazy to me that a game like this that has such a simple premise but has been given so much depth over time has fostered such an amazing community, because it basically lets people build up their own fantasy life. Now, this is where the fantasy trope stuff starts to play in too. So the fact that you can do whatever you want with your character in terms of building up skills and things kind of lets you have like a second lease on life, right? So if you ever wanted to be a knight when you were a younger kid, or a wizard, or a really good cook, or a miner, or anything like that, this game gives you that ability to do that, because there are, you know, I think over 20 different types of skills, everything from combat to magic to alchemy to prayer. Even, yeah, you can level up your prayer points too, and they all benefit and level up your character progressively. But it gives the player the ability to build up a character in a way that they want to. If you want to focus on magic combat and have a really good cooking and fishing skill, go for it. You don't have to touch a sword or a shield the entire time you're in there, because there are specific item sets made to benefit mages, and, you know, vice versa goes for knights too. So it's really kind of cool, because you have people who probably spent their entire childhood dreaming about slaying dragons and fighting knights and saving people, and they get to experience that through this game, right? And the setting is in keeping with that too. And that's what I actually like about old school RuneScape too, is the fact that the aesthetic of the game is so simple that the main focus becomes whatever your character's doing. It's not, you know, looking at what's going on around you. It's focusing on, okay, what is my character doing? What am I leveling up? What am I grinding right now? Am I hanging out with people? Am I talking with people? Am I trading? It goes on and on. And it's pretty amazing that you're given so many options in such like a sort of encapsulated space, because, you know, at least even I believe the free-to-play world is, it's not the entire map. There are some areas that are locked off to members, which is fine. But it also, you know, I've sunk countless hours into this game just playing it for free. And I have friends who have even maxed out their level just playing it on the free side, and, you know, it takes numerous hours to do that. So this kind of gets into what I want to talk about next is, you know, okay, so we take this medieval fantasy setting, throw in some other miscellaneous references that I want to go through, and kind of how the creators Jagex treat world building. So one thing I really want to go through that I think Jagex does pretty well with world building is, you know, they build up a steady base with this sort of medieval fantasy world, but then they throw in obscure references to things from all over history. I kind of gathered some random ones that I thought were funny to mention, just to give you a taste of kind of what they like to throw into the game, because they're kind of cheeky in a certain way, right? So you've got some blatantly obscure references to medieval culture. Like, there's a King Arthur in the game who is literally King Arthur. Like, that's straight from it. But then things like gods are something a little different, right? So Sarah Doman, which I think is the first god that you learn about in most of the churches, is based on the Judeo-Christian god And that's, you know, purely based on the fact that he's seen him as this powerful warrior king. I'm going to say this wrong. The Zeroshian Empire is inspired by the Roman Empire. And that's pretty clear when you look at their aesthetics. You know, they're dressed specifically like Romans. Zamorak is clearly inspired by the devil. And there's a, you know, there's a bunch of other creatures, too, that are references to real-world mythology. Like, Fremric is inspired by Norse mythology. Hades, Skrull, and Fenrir are all wolves from Norse mythology as well. And Ymir is based on a Valkyrie. So the fact that they've got... Oh, wait, there's actually one really obscure one in here, too, that I think is, like, the comical height of the references they make. There are a bunch of penguins all throughout the land, and they are all Soviet. So they actually kind of reference the Cold War by throwing these penguins all over the overworld that are Soviet penguins. I mean, it doesn't get more like, you know, tongue in cheek or kind of like really obscure way to reference history than that. But what I'm trying to get at with this is, like, they, you know, they take this medieval fantasy world and then they bring in flavors of other cultures or pieces of history to enliven it. So, you know, you have a really strong base for the way that the world is set up, and then you throw a bunch of spins on it, and there's kind of no rules in terms of how they, you know, limit the content or the story of the game. And the fact that RuneScape doesn't have an overall plot either, you know, lends itself more to that too, where it's just more kind of like one larger melting pot for players to have fun in a medieval setting. So the next element that I really want to touch on is the gameplay itself, because if that's not enjoyable, then, you know, then why are you even playing the game? So there's something to be said when a game that's as simple as RuneScape in premise has been going on for 15 years and the install base has only gotten bigger since then, right? So the gameplay is essentially point and click. You have your player in the overworld, you can control the angle of the camera, and you click locations to walk to, and you right-click on things that interact with them. Now, this is a pretty simple interface with the overworld, but included in sort of the user interface is also a chat window where you can see what people around you are saying, and then you also have your user interface panel on the right, which has everything from your inventory to your level map and gear loadout. So everything is there for you. Oh, it's also worth noting too that up in the right-hand corner you have a sort of zoomed out overworld map. So if you know there's some place that's farther away that's not in your field of view that you need to get to, you can actually click it on the overworld map instead of the window that has your player, and your player will automatically start walking it that way. So you're not constantly pressing buttons to move, you're clicking to move, which is pretty simple, but that's also a nature of, you know, the original coding of the game, I think. It had to be point and click because it was browser and Java based. So binding that to keys doesn't really make sense. Now, in terms of how your character interacts with the world, you know, your character starts off as a blank slate, like I said before, and you're allowed to build them any way you want. Your character has 27 different skills to level up, and they can all go up to level 99. Now, aside from those basic skill levels, you have a combat level, which is a culmination of a few different things that you level up. I think there's like attack and defense and strength, and they're determined how they level up by how your player fights. Because when you have a physical weapon in your hand, there are several different types of strikes you can do with it, and you can choose that, and you can choose which skills to build by using different types of strikes. You know, there's also magic combat skills and teleportation spells and cooking and fishing and mining and smithing and all these other skills you can build that, you know, let you build your character however you want. Now, all the interfaces for these are as simple as clicking. You just need to have the right gear in your inventory, and then you can right-click on something and interact with it. So making the interface that accessible, I think, really speaks to how people can get into it so easily, because someone who doesn't know anything about how this world works just needs to click around until they figure it out, right? And then, you know, you learn more about how the world works as you go through it. Another part of the immersion of the game is combat itself. So something that's usually so stressful in other games and can give players anxiety is actually pretty simple in RuneScape. It's as simple as the rest of the interface. You simply need to click on something, whether it's a goblin or a ghost or a skeleton or whatever it is you want to fight. And then the way combat, well, worked way back in the day was that you would take turns exchanging blows. So you would hit, your enemy would try to take a hit. You would take a hit, and your enemy would try to take a hit, and you would just go back and forth until one of you falls. Now, all the enemies are on a level system too, so your combat level is pretty indicative about whether you can handle a certain enemy or not. And I know combat has gotten more progressive since then, but what I'm trying to get at with this is, like, and it's gotten more complex, and it's gotten, I think it's still pretty accessible. I tried it out a bit, and it, honestly, I'm still flooring most people without having to do too much, or enemies. And what I think is actually good about that is the fact that something that's supposed to make you stressed isn't really that stressful at all. If you're down in a dungeon and you're grinding for materials, all you have to do is click and your character will take care of the rest. It doesn't require too much attention on your part to maintain and make sure that your character is alive. So you, the fact that you can take something like combat and sort of tone down the level of stress for that, I think also makes people want to play it more, because it makes it more about giving your player something to do while you're waiting for an end result, instead of having to constantly be inputting things. So, like, you can be farming for materials with a group of friends and talking to each other while your characters are all killing the monsters around you. So it's kind of interesting how it takes something so sort of complex in other games, distills it down to, you know, almost turn-based attacks, and turns it into sort of a more of a grinding process than actually stressful for the player. So the thing that I want to talk about to sort of wrap up this podcast and also, you know, get to what the sum of all these parts kind of lead to, and what I want to talk about is the phenomenon of, you know, escapism, right? So generally people play video games because they want to forget about what's going on around them and, you know, get away from their real world troubles for a while. And I think RuneScape is a really good example of how they can do that in a pretty simple manner. So, you know, this, I was watching, there's a documentary that they did about the history of the game, I think about a year ago, to celebrate the 15-year anniversary of it. It's worth checking out, and it's on YouTube. So if you get a chance and you're really interested in this game, you should take a peek at it. But, you know, it's amazing to see how people who want to immerse themselves in a secondary world can find it here, and how that can build such a community around it too. So, you know, it's set up into different worlds and servers, but you have multiple people in one server at a time interacting with each other. You know, they're trading, they're talking, they're interacting with each other. So it's weird how this sort of escapism also has a social aspect. It also lets people live out a sort of fantasy life too, right? But it's kind of amazing to me how a game as simple as RuneScape in concept has all these sorts of multifaceted tools moving that are deceptively simple. The game seems so simple when you look at it, but there's so many intricacies with how it's actually built that it builds a really strong foundation for someone to be able to immerse themselves. Because, you know, say you want to forget your stressful job and just spend a day fishing, do it. Build your fishing skill. You know, you want to level up your combat, do it. Go fight some monsters and level up. It gives you something to strive for while also giving you an outlet from the real world. And it's low stress too. Like, that's, I think that's what actually is sort of the crux of all this, is that nothing about the game is overly stressful. You can take your time doing whatever you want to do. You can do quests, you can not do quests, you can just max out the level of your character. Like, it's up to you. And the fact that it's fostered such a large community, like, there were real world connections made. And, like, you know, there's couples who have actually met through RuneScape and have families. Like, that's insane. The fact that something that people went to escape from their daily lives ended up changing their life completely. And I think that's a really indication of how well this game works, you know, in terms of longevity, but also the sort of fan base that it's built up. So, you know, on the whole, RuneScape is a medieval fantasy world that references a bunch of different pieces of real-world inspiration, from medieval fantasy to obscure history references to literature, and throws them into one kind of giant sandbox and leaves the player to their own devices to live out the life they've always wanted to live. And, you know, I think for anyone who's intimidated by large RPG games, this is a really great starting point, because you just go in and you can just sort of click around and figure out what you want to do. It's a deceptively intricate game that presents itself as something that's accessible to people who don't normally interact with this sort of game, and I think that's pretty amazing. So, you know, this is one of my favorite games that I played growing up, and it's amazing how, like, I don't have a number on how much time I sunk into it, but I spent the better part of 2 or 3 years after school playing RuneScape. And, you know, as a kid, it was a really good starting point because I could understand everything that was going on in the game. And then, you know, adults enjoy it too, because there's complexities that are beneath the surface that make it rewarding to level up your skills and your character. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, go check it out. And I suggest starting with old school RuneScape, because it actually is a bit simpler than current RuneScape. That's just my opinion. But it's kind of got an older style graphics. It's anyone's computer can pretty much run it. It's still browser based, or you can download a desktop app to play through. And the customer support of Jagex is amazing too. They helped me get my account back after not logging in for like 7 years. So I think that's where I'm gonna leave it for today. If you guys like what you heard here, go rate me, go subscribe me, send me feedback through the site, do all that good stuff. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my podcast, and I will see you next time. Thanks.